fly if you show me your okay.
Well, we're back.
We're back.
We're back again.
We didn't leave.
No, we've never left.
Oh, we're still
here. Stayed in this cave.
Yeah.
Where
we
record these podcasts.
My butt has not moved.
No, it's been a moveless butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rock solid.
Rock solid.
Immobile butt.
Rock solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's exactly how you wanted to start this episode.
Yeah,
talking about
exactly.
That idea.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did. That's why I did that.
Listen, I work out.
Is this where you tell me how you can build muscle really fast?
This is my monthly reminder.
Nobody is more proud of that one ability. You're like Wolverine with this shit.
I love how jealous men are of it specifically.
I'm not really jealous of. Well, yeah. maybe I am, sure.
I don't think you are. I think it is the men who do get jealous of it. It is just so fucking funny to see them like.
I appreciate any quality where you can trigger somebody when it's just a thing you're good at.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Yeah. You know, like I'm just really good at this.
It's like doing backflips. I can't do a backflip, but this is my equivalent of doing a backflip.
Have you tried to do a backflip?
No.
So
I am pretty sure I can't. When I was little, I was in dance for like 2 years, and then they asked us to do a backwards somersault, and I was like, I quit.
You just refused to try.
I can't refuse do this.
To try.
No, I know I tried. And
okay,
I was unable. And I said, Mother, get me out of here. I no longer want to jazz tap to Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
That was probably the biggest mistake of your life.
I don't think so.
Wow. Sounds like a mistake when I hear it.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
My mother has video. I think I may have said this anecdote on this podcast before, but there is a video of me at one of my dance recitals where I'm just staring at myself in the mirror, rubbing my flat chest.
What?
For the entire performance.
Is it like a weird sexual thing? Like what,
no,
what's
I'm
going
just,
on?
I'm in a leotard. I'm a little child, and I'm
and
like,
you just
wow,
think it's thrilling.
One day I'm gonna have boobs right there.
Oh, so you were thinking about your breasts?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, all women have them.
I'm aware of
and
that.
And I'm a tiny woman.
Were you?
So one day I'll have them. But right now it's super
were you
flat.
Trying to bring them out faster?
No. I'm just,
this
know,
is an incantation you were channeling.
They were like, this sport is to learn about our bodies. And I said, I hear you.
I'm going to learn by direct contact.
Yes.
That's how I will learn it.
Yeah. I also think it was really soft probably. So it was a little of that too.
The leotard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Regardless, I was not doing the thing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
my
like what the dance would be.
Cackling to herself.
Oh, she's loving it. Of course.
Loving it. She's like, that is my daughter.
Yeah, she
That's
is
my daughter.
A living clown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A full-time clown.
Yep.
Full-time clown.
Yep.
You ever dated a clown?
No.
I have dated a clown.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know a
briefly.
Clown. She's great, but
yes.
No, I didn't
also
date
a she.
Her.
I also dated
okay.
a she clown, yeah.
Well.
Maybe that's how you fix this clown problem. I mean, every time you think clowns are scary, but they're always men.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Women are funny. Women clowns are...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice.
That's the solution. Although female scary clown is kind of a good idea if you can figure it out.
I mean, it's just a clown, but... Well,
thank
not
you
even.
For rubbing
might
them
yeah,
so that I
know
what you're referring to. Maggie's going
to
stare in
my
eyes and continue rubbing her breasts.
Any clown can have tits. Any gender
sure,
can have tits.
Sure.
Any gender of clown can have tits.
Who... Sure. That
I'm
is
not
our,
gatekeeping tits of clowns.
That's our stance.
Yes.
On this podcast,
yes.
The title
yes.
of which is I'll Show You Mine
and
If You Show Me Yours.
And any gender can be scary.
Agreed.
Hosted by two different genders.
Correct. You and
one
I are both
Adam.
Different. That's me.
One name, me, Maggie.
One name, Maggie.
I'm trying to make a through
both
line
Both of us
here.
Are scary clowns right now.
Yeah,
I'm
true.
Scared of what you're
I'm
doing.
Scared.
And it's some strange clowning we're doing.
Anyway,
that's how we chose to introduce this episode.
Yeah, I guess.
And probably because it's the revenge movie, the audience wants to take revenge on us for wasting 4 minutes of their time.
They're seething.
I don't blame them.
They're going to sick a non-binary clown on both of us to eat us tonight.
Ooh, you think clowns eat people?
Yeah.
That's your dream. That's your nightmare clown.
My father has a deep fear of clowns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very true. I always thought he was kind of kidding, but he was like, no.
Like if he sees him, he freaks out.
Kind of.
Have you seen
like
him see one?
he left the room where we were watching it on like the scariest parts.
Wow.
So
that's pretty visceral.
Take that for how you will.
I think heights is my.
Heights is your thing?
Yeah. The head starts to swim a bit for me.
Oh, sure.
A little bit. Not real, not like small heights, but like,
yeah.
Like I do not. Uh-huh. Like I there was a date I went on once where I was like trying to be the cool dude.
Uh-huh.
We wore sunglasses the whole time, which was very funny. Then she was like, hey, but I had projected cool guy idea.
Yeah.
And then she's like, let's climb on this railing up like three stories high and like sit on the railing. Cause she's
cool.
And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah. I want to remove these.
We did not have a second date.
Glasses. Oh my God. That's funny. Right. That's very funny.
That was it.
I didn't know I had this fear until, you know, I went on a little vacation, to Mexico.
So this is recent.
Okay. And you know, I've gone snorkeling before, but anytime I had done it before. Yeah. I had been able to see the bottom cause I was just, you know, snorkeling near the shore or whatever.
Yeah.
They took us way out there.
Like what's down there, man?
Yeah.
What is down there?
Yeah. And, it was
like, you just see your own severed head down there and it turns out it's attached to a fish.
Anything. Yeah. There could be anything cause you can't see the bottom. And I saw whales everywhere. So I was like, I know there could be at least a whale sized thing between here and there.
Yeah, they could have a whole whale bar on the way down.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That'd be great though. Whale bar. Stopping in a whale bar. Yeah, that's their greeting. Then you got to order. Yeah. Same tone. Anyway, you know how that bit goes.
Wow, they really hate us now.
Yeah.
We're going to die tonight.
This is it for us.
Yeah.
Hope you're liking it.
Run.
Anyway, Maggie.
Yeah.
This is, we could do a shorter one right now, right? Yeah. Yeah, give me one interesting or tragic thing that happened to you this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't report any tragedies. Did anything interesting happen? Maybe not.
Okay.
Oh, a new restaurant opened down the street, and it's fucking great.
Are you one of these people like knows all your restaurants?
I know a few. I wouldn't say,
like you're not, like when somebody comes to visit you, they're like, where do you eat? And you're like, I got my spots. Are you one of those people?
I'm a person that likes knowing what the spots are. I guess I like knowing the hot joints or whatever. It is a fantastic diner, just run by two brothers. And
love it so far.
I know. I love seeing them succeed. I drove past the other day, line at the door. And I was like, yes, best chilaquiles I had in my entire life.
Ooh.
So that's nice. Good. Yeah, it was great.
That's a thing I want to know where to go for. Okay,
well,
great.
We can go.
We should
Let's go.
That'd be fun. Great.
Yeah,
let's do it.
I'm done. What about you? Tragedy or something fun?
Let's do something fun if
we
can.
Yeah, like, yeah, tragedy.
Let's not do that right now. I probably saw. I'm going to say like six edits of different things that are done that I've been working on. Like we saw edits for two of our podcasts that has not yet launched, but will soon.
Yeah.
Called Lynchpins. That'll be available in the world. It's our podcast with David Lynch. Mm-hmm. We have several episodes done and I'm liking it.
I know.
It's very good.
It's very good. I love seeing us on camera just because really captures.
Yeah, we get more of our thing. But I will say though, we're less shooting from the hip in this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not as much loose horse shit in it.
Yeah. And to your benefit.
The audience will be.
Yes.
They don't want to watch what we're doing right now.
Yeah. No.
They don't want to see it.
They don't want it.
I don't
want
to see it. It's awful.
The extended cut, though, will be on our Patreon. So, yeah. So
great.
We'll have our.
I forgot there was an extended cut.
Bits.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because we always. There's at least 10 minutes we're always cutting out of horse shit. Great. So
still there. Just cut out.
It's just gone. Yeah. So. Great. Yeah. That was fun. This documentary is almost done.
Yeah.
This commercial that I shot is almost done.
Yeah.
And there was another thing too.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. Just a bunch of things.
Look
are.
At you.
But you know what's weird? I have been having a hell of a time getting back to writing. Like I'm only doing like one or 2 days a week right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, I just can't get back
sometimes,
to it.
Yeah. Sometimes your brain just hits a wall.
I think it's that like I'm doing a rewrite and I'm just like not excited right now about anything.
It feels
so
like being dragging yourself through mud because no one's dragging you through the mud. You have to drag yourself through mud.
That's the hardest part.
My God.
I mean, you're always happy when it's done because you're like, oh, it's so much better now.
Yeah.
But like doing it for whatever reason, it's not as joyful.
Yeah. The process is can be grueling. You have to give yourself little carrots, even if it's just like,
yeah,
I need to get it fucking done. Get it off my mind. Get off my plate.
This is the farmer one. I'm about at the midpoint. Ooh. I started rewriting it earlier this year.
Yeah.
I figured out something about the ending that will be better.
Oh, so fun.
So I'll ask you to read it again if you're willing to. Uh-huh. You're like, we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Well, we're going to have just less loose horse shit this week.
Yeah.
Just less.
Yeah.
Normally we do just another 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But like, honestly,
I think you have all had enough. You already want to murder us.
Yeah. Right. And that's appropriate for this episode. We're doing our job.
That's true.
We're doing our job. So before we get too into deep, we do want to say a thank you to all of our producers.
We do.
Who are on the Show Me tier.
Yes.
In that tier.
Yes.
They spend $10 and they get the ability to tell us what to do.
They fucking do.
They can suggest topics for us, which they often do. They can send us direct notes, which they often don't.
We read them. I read every one of them.
Yeah.
Every week. I tell you.
That's correct. I read them all.
We don't lie.
Also, I don't need to lie. You know?
I don't need to lie.
They pay me for the truth.
I learned very early on.
Don't need to lie.
It's just not worth it. It's never worth it.
But we are going to, I decided to flip the way we do this. So normally with the bonus episode is the one where we only read a couple names.
Oh yeah.
I think from now on, the bonus episode is where we should give them the juice.
That's actually good. Yeah. Cause they're getting paid. Actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to thank a couple of patrons and they will be representative of us all.
Wonderful.
Right. Sort of like our government. Theoretically.
Theoretically. My God. If it even worked half this well, I would be cheering.
But that's correct. But we'd like to thank as, you know, sort of the avatar for our audience today. We'd like to thank, Aaron Sines. Aaron Sines seems like stand-up dude.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was like kind of like, a name like Gary Sinise. That's just like, that's a name. Aaron Sines.
I just kind of trust him.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just buying insurance from that guy. Right.
Cast him in anything. Right. Solid pick.
I think
cast.
Him as an attorney. I think Aaron Sines, attorney at law.
Ooh.
Is probably what it is. But like IP attorney. Like he's defending people from getting stolen by like companies and stuff.
Damn.
We need it. We need IP attorneys.
Now more than ever.
In the AI
now
advent.
More than ever. Sometimes Will and I will just turn to each other and say,
Now more than ever.
Speaking of revenge, I wanted to kill someone.
No kid. So this is kind of a funny thing that happened this week.
Good.
This is the week I realized I have to learn AI or I'm screwed.
Oh.
Like I really have to know it.
Oh, wow.
Like as a professor, I need to know it.
Oh, to catch people. Or just to know.
Catch people is maybe not because like I'm of the opinion and I'm like, you know, I don't want to get myself into trouble here, but
right.
I'm sort of the opinion. Like it's not good to stop college students from using AI because they need to know it. Like, I think we have to think smarter about how to make the learning, make sure they are learning it and give them evaluations that justify that.
Yeah. I guess I just
they should be using it though.
Right.
To the extent that it doesn't inhibit them from understanding things.
Right.
You know,
To me, AI, anything that has to do with like analytics or whatever, I think is great. Anything that has to do creative does not make any sense to me.
It's really great for research and prompting and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like it's still basically a really smart Google. That's basically what AI
Anytime
is right
I've
now.
Used it has not helped me in any way.
I haven't seen someone use it creatively in a way I have that art couldn't be produced, but it is a time saver. There's no doubt. Anyway, I only say that
Maybe
not
I'm
to,
using it wrong.
Right. Well, like for instance, have you written a query letter in the last 2 years?
Yes. And when I said, when I tried it, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Mine was terrible. Very good. Mine was quite good.
I hope it was.
Well, I read it. Okay. I mean, I rewrote it a little bit as you have to. Like you can't just not rewrite it. You know I mean? That's
part of it. Oh, I know. I'm like, I am deeply disappointed anytime I've ever.
But like,
tried
I don't
want to
be
it.
Old guy shaking my fist at clouds, especially don't want to be that as a college professor where it's like, look, you know, like why would I ask people who are young and learning not to use these tools that are like, that are now changing the world. It's stupid.
Yeah.
That means I have to know them a bit. So I've realized I got to put some time in AI, which I have not so far.
Well,
so
someone's got to do it. And
I guess it'll be my my ninth job or 10th job, learn AI. Anyway, speaking of taking revenge, I feel like that's what AI is going to do on us any minute now. And these are some movies that help us to consider that possibility. We did select revenge movies as the topic. We did offer it to you in a list, and you also selected it.
Yeah.
We are of one mind.
Yep.
Therefore, we're going to discuss these two films. Which are pretty different films. Yeah.
I'm trying to be one mind with you. It's a joke.
Imagine us in a tender embrace. What does that sound mean? Is that our bones creaking? What does that mean?
Two robots of one.
Is that us hugging each other like a seesaw? Fucking strange, bro. which of these two movies you want to talk about first, Maggie? I believe it is your turn to pick.
It is my turn. Let's talk about Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11. Woo! Maggie's pick.
My pick.
Ocean's 11, the revenge movie. This movie
just
is
all your bros.
Honestly,
just all your bros.
Honestly, this might be the most fun movie I've ever seen. It's very fun. It's still very fun.
I love
fun.
Soderbergh for a thousand reasons.
I think I've watched this movie more than any other movie.
Wow.
I know I've seen it 20 times.
It's so good.
It's a very good
it's
film.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we do some summarizing of this film?
Sure.
A little bit?
You're fucking screwed if you haven't seen it yet.
If you haven't seen Ocean's 11, I don't know that you really like movies. Because Ocean's 11 is a quintessential movie.
It is so fun. That's what it's like. Yeah. There's no excuse not to see it. Because it's fun. You will have fun. The characters are... Everyone's got
Ocean's
something.
11 is what every Hollywood studio picture aspires to be.
Yeah.
In that it's movie stars acting like movie stars.
Yep.
Hitting peak performance.
Yeah.
It's a great director in his prime. It's a well-told story.
Yep.
It's fun the whole way.
Yep.
And it's a huge box office success.
Yeah.
Like, it's a perfect studio film.
Yeah.
You know? And when they happen like that, you're like, this is why Hollywood is a thing.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. Do you want to summarize it?
Sure.
Yeah.
So this is about Danny Ocean, and he gets all his friends back together.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, he's always eaten.
Yeah, that's his bit.
Every character has got a little
rusty.
Bit.
Rusty.
Yeah. But it's great. It's an ensemble cast. And so, you know, they're going to pull this heist against Andy Garcia, my mother's early crush.
Not surprised by that.
Yeah.
He's obviously always been kind of strapping.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember my mom told me that. I was like, but then I was like, okay, especially after this movie.
Yeah. You've seen Godfather 3.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, he smolders a bit in that movie, right?
Yeah. Sure,
or like
sure.
When a Man Loves a Woman, right?
Sure. Actually, I don't think I've seen that one.
That one's,
is it good?
It's pretty good as I remember it. It's like, wife has a debilitating alcohol problem and he takes care of her what it's about. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Meg Ryan is debilitating alcoholic in it. It's been a long time since I watched it. So
that's a good role for her.
She did some gnarly roles.
Yeah.
Like in The Cut. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Check that one out, friend.
Okay. I will.
Give that one a grok. Give that one a grok.
One a rock.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, getting to the heart of the revenge part of this all. So the reason we find out that he's, you know, maybe slightly targeting this specific casino is because Andy Garcia is dating his ex, Julia Roberts.
Tess.
What a great name.
Great name.
Great
use of Julia Roberts.
Great use of Julia Roberts. Chemistry between them, undeniable.
I mean, I've heard that she was difficult in her prime to work with, but that's what I've heard. I mean, maybe that's just Hollywood slander. I don't know.
Yeah,
so I probably shouldn't repeat it. But man, she sparkles in movies where they let her have fun.
Yes.
She's so fun.
Always let her have fun.
You know, like honestly, Jennifer Lawrence is the true successor to Julia Roberts.
Yeah, totally.
Like, Jennifer Lawrence might be more capable. I don't know. It's hard to say, but like she seems like she can do a lot. But she's carried on that, like, just so fun all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 But yeah, so I love this movie. But I also think I like what it has to say about revenge. I think is a very, like, sticky situation because it's almost like you have, like, a moral ick with it. You know, it's like we don't see revenge is not usually
revenge
good.
Is the Lord's.
Right. We're not taught to, you know, whether warranted or not, there's always like a stink on it.
Yeah, even dig if, two graves.
Right. You pointing one at me, putting four back at you, whatever that, right. you know, whatever.
Right.
But I think this is a movie that's like, okay, but revenge is like fun.
Well, you know, especially if revenge is a code word for justice.
Yes.
Which this, it is in this movie.
Yes,
really,
yes. You know, and he gets all his boys paid.
Right.
It's all his boys paid. And it's such like a group effort. And I think the thing that makes sometimes a revenge, whatever that is, when it is justified and you have so many people on your side, there's really no other feeling like that.
So you kind of love the team spirit of it.
Absolutely.
As a revenge idea.
I am a huge team spirit gal, team sports, ensemble cast movies. People working together is like
to spite another person.
Yeah, to spite another person. To do anything, actually, I think is beautiful. And I think it's just fun.
I'm sorry. So
yes,
I think
it
everyone
was.
Needs their
yes, it was.
Needs a tongue translation here.
Yes, it was.
It sounded like you were saying people working together, and then you did a tongue thing that can only be described as oral sex.
Yes.
So is that what we're talking about right now?
Yeah.
What are you saying, Maggie?
I'm saying it is orgasmic.
Thank you.
People working together. To me, that is
ideally.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in a meta way, that is the best thing about movies and like being on a movie set. Everyone working together. Everyone doing their part to create a whatever it is.
I love this from you.
Oh, thank you.
Like the collaborative thing.
To me, you really
do love that too.
I do.
You really
deeply.
Actually, that's one of my favorite things about you and Will is like how much you guys deeply collaborate.
Yeah.
Like truly collaborate. And in this like pretty unselfish way.
It's I mean, I think
it takes a certain amount of humility to be that way.
I think, yeah, for sure. But and I know both of us are that way. So it's easy to be that way with each other, but truly what comes out of it is just dime. You just make fucking you lob diamonds when you have someone.
You lob diamonds. Everybody's lobbing diamonds. Will lobs
but
diamonds
with the team. Maybe everyone would be lobbing diamonds with support from their friends. You can do anything.
I love this so much because I am.
This is all very idealistic.
Entirely the opposite.
I know.
Everyone play a role.
Yeah.
But also,
I think a director is to me because I'm the actor. So to in my perspective of everyone doing their job, the director is absolutely doing their job. They're the Danny Ocean. It's like,
they're
empowering people, but also, you know, they're sweeping up other people's messes.
Right. They're also the Danny Ocean in that they're playing mind games with everyone on their crew to get them to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's just fun and beautiful. I love films that celebrate friendship, period, but it's even more special, not more special. I love seeing men being friends and hanging out.
Yeah. We don't
I
do that much of that.
I know. We've never
Except for
do.
Comedies.
Yeah.
Comedies more regularly.
Comedies are allowed to, but anywhere else, they're not allowed to hang out.
Yeah, there's
fun.
A real Clint Eastwood syndrome.
Yeah, it's
movies.
Really weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even less so, like, women being friends with men. That's also very rare.
Yeah.
Unless there's, like, a romantic tone or whatever to it.
It never entirely escapes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like,
rarely. Well, yeah. You can have friends.
Yeah.
Who says you can't?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
I know.
Yeah.
Hollywood doesn't want you to think you can have friends.
Big Hollywood.
Big Hollywood.
Stealing your friends.
To fucking make friends. No, but yeah, I just think there's just
we're
a lot
fucking
of,
weird today.
I know.
We are really weird.
I know. There's no excuse for it.
Like, just strange energy
my
today.
Brain is
What's going on with that?
In a jar.
Why are we?
I've been in my room writing.
Is that what it is?
And rewriting.
I don't think I had like a pure evening free.
Yeah.
In a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And like, I think today is the day it caught up a bit. Like
yeah.
not like even if I had free time, it was like absorbed with like other stuff.
Yes.
Like not
yes.
it's not chill. I haven't chilled in a very long time.
Yeah.
I think today's the day. We all paid for it.
I feel chill. That's probably also why I'm babbling.
I'm loving your chill. Hey. It's wonderful chill.
Yeah.
Forgive me for interrupting you.
No, it was not.
Okay, great. Do you think this movie's stupid now at all? like is it stupid at all? Or do we think like...
Oh, I mean, I think it is always kind of stupid, but I think that's great.
But it's great stupid.
I think Soderbergh works in that. He's like...
Yeah, and then sometimes...
You give me stupid, I will give you a fucking ball.
I think he's so good at knowing exactly what we care about.
Yeah, like
I think he's very good at that.
He's so great with... I mean, I love him as a director, and he's so great with character. And I think this is, you know, he's making a studio movie, but it's like, I know what people care about, and I know what you care about.
He also knows how to use camera in a way that winks enough that you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, cause we're always looking for a filmmaker who's got some style, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He knows how to do that in a way that's satisfying to a film audience.
Yes. And it feels like it's welcoming you into it rather than being like, look at my camera move. It's like, no.
And I'm not saying this because I don't like this filmmaker. I'm just saying it as a good example. Mm-hmm. Like Inarritu, right? Mm-hmm. Also has bold camera choices.
Right.
But they definitely feel show-off-y at times.
Yes.
Soderbergh really doesn't.
No.
Like he's approachable for the most part.
That is a wonderful...
Yeah.
Yeah, while still making great... pieces of,
I feel like I've covered Soderbergh multiple times on this network, so I don't want to spend forever on him personally.
Yeah.
But I think he's one of the best filmmakers.
He is one of the best filmmakers.
He also does all the jobs.
Yes, yes.
He
That's
was
one
the
of
DP
the reason
of
why
film.
He is so good is because he knows it from every angle.
Yeah, it's really, really rare for a director to also be a DP of a film just because those jobs are both very demanding. And they're... in some ways contradictory concerns.
Yes.
You know? And if you watch the commentary on Ocean's 11, he's talking all the time about how frustrated he was with his lighting.
Yeah.
Which makes me laugh.
Yeah.
especially when you're like, he's killing it so
hard. I know. He's fucking nailing it.
He's like, I fucking hate how I lit this. You know? Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love that shit, man. Yeah. He's great. He's truly great.
He is so great. Also, I keep a list because it's very short of men directors who mentor women directors.
Oh, does he do that?
Yep.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I know. So now you can also stick that little feather in your hat.
That's really nice.
I know.
I will. I needed a feather in my hat.
There you go.
It was feather free.
As if you needed another reason to like Soderbergh.
No, but I needed a
there
feather.
You fucking oh, yeah. Oh, that's true.
I'm sticking it right in there.
You can take it from him.
Thank you for this ideological plumage.
Thank you.
You know who else says that phrase? Put a feather in your cap?
Who?
Abe. Abe
really?
Fucking loves it.
He Abe's seems like a guy that...
Abe has a few like Abe-isms.
Yeah.
That, like his whole... the whole time I've known him, he says them and they throw me out. Wow. Feather in your cap's one of them.
That's hilarious.
Swabbing your chompers.
Holy
another one.
Shit.
Apparently I had an uncle or a grandfather who talked about brushing his teeth as swabbing your chompers.
Shut up. That's so funny.
The other day I just thought of that. it just makes me laugh because Abe chompers. Loves it so much.
Yeah.
Swabbing your chompers. Fuck it, Abe.
That's funny.
What a goblin. Funny. What a beautiful goblin.
What a wonderful goblin.
It's only 28 minutes in, but it feels like maybe we're done with
Ocean's
11.
I think it's ready. Yeah. That's what I say. It's like a tight package.
All right.
A tight package.
Also kind of horn doggy today.
What? Yeah.
What's going on with you? What charged you up so much with all the squeaking bones and shit?
I think I just
what's funny is you're charged
spouse.
Up. Yeah, you're charged up. I'm over here like living a celibate life. And you're coming over here like the horny fairy, just dropping off all your bullshit on me. And then sparkling out of here. Meanwhile, I go back into the fridge.
Do you karaoke?
I would.
Do you want to karaoke?
Currently, like right now or at some point?
Yeah, right now. You're on mic.
Let's do Arabian Nights. Here we go. Of course. Of course.
Okay, great.
I would not sing that.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay. Okay. Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. When is this? Just eventually.
I'll text you.
Great. Done.
Okay. Great.
Sign me up. Bring all your pals.
I will.
You know, I love your pals. Yeah. Bring Alice.
Yes.
That's my favorite pal who I haven't seen enough of. Okay. The film I selected for revenge film, which I think qualifies more directly as a revenge film. I mean, maybe not.
No, yes, but my reaction
was, is scoffing. is delighted scoffing was your reaction. Is the 2009 French film A Prophet.
What the fuck?
A Prophet. Have you seen this?
No.
So, oh, great. So you haven't seen it.
I've never
wonderful.
Seen it.
I watched
I'm
this.
I'm shocked I hadn't seen it.
This was like the film student movie when it came out.
Yeah.
Like, and I was in film school when it came out. And like me and my buddy Derek, we went and watched it. And it was like, Derek. This fucking rules. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Derek's great. I haven't talked to him in a bit, but I love him. Yeah, it's a 3-hour, basically, it's basically like The Godfather, but in a French jail.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it is.
And you know you want it. You know you want to watch it.
Yeah, dude, it's great.
It's fucking great.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a really good film.
It's very good.
So, because I don't want to talk the whole time, do you want to do any summarizing? What do you think?
I don't like summarizing.
You don't like summarizing? Okay, so I'll do a little summarizing.
So it's up to me.
This isn't so. I choose to not do it. I choose not to.
I think it's your turn. Yeah, it's I think it's your turn to do that.
It's like a strip tease where I keep losing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the game. To take your sock off.
So it's a strip tease where it's just sock removal. Yeah.
That's not what I wanted to happen.
Well, that's happening.
That's,
not...
that's the rules of the game.
There.
Anyway.
Anyway.
A prophet. Starts with the processing essentially of a recently arrested kid named Malik.
Mm-hmm.
He is Arab, a fact that becomes important as the film goes along.
Mm-hmm.
He, like all prison films, at first is like lost, doesn't have any friends, doesn't fit anywhere. There's clearly groups that seem like they're arranged mostly by ethnicity.
Yeah.
And he's kind of stuck between various groups because he doesn't seem Arab enough. I'm putting that in quotes to hang out with the Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not any of the other groups. So he's sort of a bit of a loner
betwixt many worlds.
He's betwixt many worlds. Exactly. I want to make sure I get the names of these characters right. So I'm pulling it up.
Mm-hmm.
So forgive me for this obvious delay. So he ends up, so we find out that there is a group of, political prisoners at this French prison that kind of run the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a warden in their pocket. They're running crimes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this group is basically the Corsicans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of a mob, essentially.
Yeah.
And the head of this Corsican family is Sid Luciani. Is that what his name is?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get it right.
It's been a week.
Caesar Luciani. Yeah, Caesar. He's a perfect villain.
Sid Caesar? Is that what he said?
Sid? It's Caesar. No, it's not Sid. It's Caesar.
Oh, no. Never mind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sister. Bro, what is with you today? What are you coming in? Coming in here with all this heat.
Know.
Was it Dr. Zhivago that did it to you? What's going on to you? I better text Will and let him know. He's inheriting the fire.
Fireball.
Yeah, you got yourself a scorcher on your way home, bro. Better get ready. Better get limber.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar Luciani, the mob boss, is this like perfectly scummy, like cruel, sort of magnificent in a weird way, mob boss type who decides to tap Malik and force him to commit this assassination of another Arab inmate for basically political reasons. We don't really know too much about it.
Right.
We just get the idea that like this guy's a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go. He knows this guy also knows that he is a target for assassination. So he's huddled really tightly into his French barrack so nobody can get to him.
Yeah.
But he happens to have a little boy crush on Malik.
Yeah.
So Malik is forced to do this assassination. He doesn't want to. He tries to get out of it.
Right.
He can't. Goes to the warden. They turn him over to the Corsicans.
Yep.
So he's like, fuck, I really got to do this.
Yep.
So he commits this assassination and begins this relationship with this mob boss that develops in the way that all these movies do.
Yeah.
Where like he starts to become more trusted, but unfortunately he's always going to be an Arab.
Right.
Right. He's always quote unquote their Arab.
Yeah.
So he's never inside.
Right.
He's always the errand boy. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out he also is, not only is he smart, which we don't know at first, but he also knows different languages, mm-hmm. including he knows how to speak. I think it is Corsican, I believe, is the language they speak. I'm not sure if I'm right about that. He speaks French. He speaks Arab, mm-hmm. and he speaks their specific dialect.
Yeah.
So he becomes the only person who can understand everybody else.
Yeah.
The
listener.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so Caesar, because he's constantly afraid of everybody, mm-hmm. as a mob boss would be, mm-hmm. employs him to sort of spy on his fellow Corsicans, mm-hmm. other Arabs, and so on. So yep. that puts Malik in contact with a bunch of different groups. Mm-hmm. So like in a weird way, Caesar is slowly building this figure who is going to end up becoming more powerful than him.
Yeah.
Right. But the one thing Caesar does is underestimate this kid. He keeps underestimating him.
Yep.
Even though he knows that he's smarter than he lets on, mm-hmm. he still underestimates him, primarily because he's racist.
Yes. Yeah.
It's primarily that he doesn't respect Arabs.
Yeah.
If he did, none of this would have happened. Yeah.
So that's a lesson for all you mob bosses out there.
Right. Respect other races.
Yeah.
Bro.
Respect other,
You know, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah.
As the great godfather once said. No, but it really is interesting because that for whatever reason struck me as true. Mm-hmm. Like it really struck me as like, yeah, this guy's prejudice really blinds him here.
Yeah.
And it costs him everything essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, like we don't have to go through every beat of this, but essentially mm-hmm. like he gets more and more involved in this crime syndicate mm-hmm. and ends up, so this is like a cool thing about French prisons. Mm-hmm. So he ends up getting leave days, right? A thing that is like, wow, that's a crazy idea.
Yeah. A lot of like, the countries have leave days.
Right. We don't have that. Nah. So, but leave days basically means if you're a good inmate,
you can
let you go out for 24 hours. Like, and the idea is find a job, like make connections so that you're ready to be a citizen or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Malik basically uses those leave days to start a drug smuggling business mm-hmm. on the side mm-hmm. and to do political killing errands for Caesar Luciani, who mm-hmm. doesn't respect his drug business.
Right.
And so he's just slowly building this empire. It's really great. The reason it's called a prophet is that this kid always seems to know right mm-hmm. when it matters.
Yeah.
What the right thing to say is.
Yeah.
Like he's just prescient enough mm-hmm. to know this is when I should be honest with this guy. Mm-hmm. This is when I should admit to what I did. Right. Mm-hmm. Like there's a great moment where he's an in-between guy for, I believe another Arab, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken. And he has to admit to killing this first guy.
Yeah.
Right. And if he does that, he's totally in this guy's power. He could get murdered instantaneously.
Yeah.
But because he does that, it ends up forging this alliance that leads to a whole bunch of assassinations mm-hmm. and it's done in such a cool poetic way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. I fucking love this movie. It ends up with him being the mob boss and they have this great scene mm-hmm. in the courtyard where Caesar Luciani, who's been sort of sitting on a bench, like ruling this courtyard, realizes he's now alone.
Yeah.
And then comes over to sort of make his errand boy come back over to him.
Uh-huh.
And he's turned away.
Uh-huh.
Like he won't even talk to him. And it happens overnight.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And perfect. It's like not even cruel. It's not cruel. Like he doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
He just leaves him alive.
Yeah.
You know, in this like you don't matter anymore way. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Love it. What did you think of it?
I agree. It was great. I feel like I don't, my brain is
fried
mush.
And horny. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Corn fried.
Yeah. That's corn fried. It's been corn fritter fried. it was great. Yeah. I'm interested in what you, revenge of it all.
Yeah. Why the revenge of it all? So one thing I'll say about it, like it does feel a little of its time now, mm-hmm. especially the filmmaking, like this, you don't see films made like this anymore
because
we've moved away from the docu-style handheld thing.
Yeah, when you said it was 2009, I was like, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it fits that. It fits that. It's a really good version of that, though, I thought. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel sweeping or designed in the way most big films do.
Uh-huh.
It feels very like... Mm-hmm. Natural lighting, we found it.
Yeah, but also that fit. Yeah, it fits.
Oh, it fits the tone, 100%. You wouldn't believe how epic the story is by looking at it.
Yeah,
you know. Also, really good acting.
Yeah,
like the acting is really solid. I was trying to find, had this guy been in other stuff? Not really.
Hollywood?
Not that much stuff.
Pick
he's
him up.
Awesome. Yeah, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, also the director hadn't done much other stuff that was like notable.
Right.
So this is just this one big project where they were great.
Mm-hmm.
revenge. So, okay. I mean, it's obviously revenge in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But like the subject of revenge fascinates me because like revenge is ultimately about trying to feel better about something that bothers you. Ultimately, that's what
correcting
it's about.
A thing of the past in a way.
Right. Like you're putting it out into the world. Mm-hmm. This like, I'm going to make this right. But really, ultimately, what you want is I want to feel better about this thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what's interesting to me about this film as a revenge film is how little this guy does that. Mm-hmm. How he's the only person who is not thinking emotionally. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in the film is operating sometimes logically, but often like their big mistakes come because they take revenge.
Yeah.
Like his colleague who dies of cancer, gets in this whole thing with another guy who called the Egyptian, which is like, sure, great. Mm-hmm. And he wants to, like, he has a really hard time letting it go to make business stuff work.
Right.
And he gets told by Malik, like, we will make it right.
Yeah.
But not now.
Yeah.
You know, like Malik's
revenge is a dish best served
cold. Right. And like, I guess that's true, but I also think there's true power in not needing
to take revenge. That's the real revenge. I mean, and also time is the real revenge. If the outcome is to be, healing.
Right. Live well is the best revenge, they say. Yeah. And there is truth to that.
Yeah.
But like, I can think of a few things that have happened in my life where I wanted revenge. Like, I wanted to get back. And I do believe that the adage of doing something about that does cost you. Like, you don't win in that equation because it doesn't make you feel better.
Right.
You know, like, and so then ultimately what did it, it just made other people hurt. Right. So like,
and many times the person you or the thing that you want revenge on kind of like takes care of itself. And
sometimes
like, poetically. Yeah.
Not always though.
Not always. Yeah.
Not always. There's people who, I can think of from my distant past who they didn't pay yet.
Yeah.
They have not
as far
paid
as we
yet.
Know, yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know how they paid related to my situation.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
But they didn't, They didn't pay that way, but who knows how,
that's
true. That's true. Like there is something like that too, where, and that's another kind of beautiful thing about this film. Like where there's a kind of jujitsu to revenge where like, well, you're sort of putting a groove that you're on that you won't be able to escape.
Yeah.
You know, and like letting people be on that groove is actually the right way to deal with stuff.
Right.
You know, I remember there was I think I can tell this story without getting anybody in trouble. Mm-hmm. There was a high ranking staff member at the court that, when I first started working there and, she was in charge of a lot of stuff. And like, she was kind of older. She was in her 60s, but for whatever reason, she and I like got along.
Yeah.
You know, like she really liked Wilco.
Oh, cool.
I introduced her to Wilco. Yeah. She was really into him. So I'd burn her discs and stuff. Then one time we were, I was like, you know, she was upset about something and I was like, oh, what's up? And she's like, well, I can't tell you. And I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then she turned and she said, but I'm going to get even. And I said, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
She was like, yep. I don't get mad. I get even.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, really? So like you're planning? She's like, yeah. Got to.
Wow.
And she's pretty frank, actually.
That's wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like, I mean, it was very, it very much colored who I thought of her as.
Of course.
It still does. Still does color. I mean,
I
think she thought of that as a mentoring moment.
Oh, sure.
Where she was
like
sort of downloading this idea to me.
Yeah.
You know, but what was funny was I didn't think it was good. I wasn't good notion.
Cold hard bitch.
Well, I didn't think,
in a good way. I'm saying that as a compliment.
I mean, well, and I kind of liked that about her.
Yeah,
she was
very,
she was unapologetic.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good quality.
Yeah.
And I still do.
Right.
She ended up getting ousted from that job, interestingly enough, not that long after that.
Wow.
Yeah, and it always made me think, like, I wonder if that caught up to you.
Connected,
I wonder if that caught up to you.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen enough people dig their own fucking, it's wild the things that people do.
Believe it or not, that is a religious concept.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's a religious concept of people planning to affect harm on people and then paying, like sort of stumbling in their own net.
Yeah. It's also just a thing that happens. It's like if you're doing.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I think that's what that is, is them describing a phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, you get in deep on a thing and suddenly it springs back on you.
Yeah.
It's because revenge is weirdly proud because it's you believing you know how things will go.
Yes. Yeah. That's
you know how it will break.
Right.
You know?
So therefore I can do this because obviously this will be the outcome, which obviously I will now be on top. It's like, that is a lot of calculations to make.
It's like, there's a lot of dice rolls in that, in that transaction, my dude.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real dice thing. All day.
Do you have a 20-sided dice? Because it's an 18 or whatever. I don't know. I hate D&D. Infamously hate
D&D. Do you really?
I think it's boring.
I didn't know this about
I don't hate it, really hate it. I've done it enough and I'm like, this is kind of boring. Yeah. And there's too much stuff based on it.
I don't love it the way that some people love it.
Did you play Baldur's Gate 3?
No.
Okay.
That has sex in it though, right?
I mean, dude, if there was ever a D&D thing for you,
I know. That's literally what my friend told me.
I mean, it's true.
It's true.
I think you would really like that.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah. You might.
I will.
Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah.
D&D it up. I'm just trying to channel this horny some constructive place.
Oh, there's a place for me to put. They're put just it. In my apartment at home.
I'm leaving this in. Yeah,
okay,
leaving it in.
Okay.
I mean, it's up to you. I guess I'll cut it.
I'm a married woman. I can do what
I relations
will.
Are allowed by law. Yeah, there is a place.
Yeah.
Say hello to him.
Say hello.
Say hello to them. Well, it's only 46 minutes, but I feel it's time to transition into at least thanking one more avatar.
Let's thank one more avatar. Oh, well, do you have any other final thoughts?
No, I think that, this is just a movie that I think is really great.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for.
Yeah, I love it. It's and it does kind of flow into people's, fly under people's radar a bit. Like it didn't land culturally in the way that it deserved to.
Yeah.
I don't think. Partly because it's not English language.
Yeah.
But also I think it's a fun way to think about revenge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe a healthy way.
Put revenge on the back burner and let it burn itself. The ideal.
I mean, honestly, my faith beliefs suggest the idea that revenge is not for us to take.
Right, right.
And I kind of do believe that. But this is also but this makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
What this guy's doing makes sense.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm going to build my own thing and not be underneath you. And then one day.
Then one day.
I'll turn you away.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be your problem now. Yeah. You know? Because he could kill him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't because it's expedient, but also he doesn't care enough about that guy
to
kill him.
That's it. Yeah. And that's what's so great about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To live a life where it's the thing that burned you. And it doesn't
I don't care about you.
Yeah. I don't care about it.
I don't need to care about you.
Yeah.
You're not relevant to me anymore.
No.
That's pretty powerful.
Yep.
Pretty powerful.
It makes me even more mad.
Oh, so, I mean, right. It's that great Don Draper line, right?
Yeah.
I don't think about you at all. Yeah.
I love that line.
That's one of the most profound TV lines ever.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's
like, wow, shit.
Not great, Bob. I think about those all the time.
It's a pretty good show.
Pretty good.
All right. We'd like to thank our final representative. Again, all of you deserve our thanks. All of you are beautiful and delightful for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But none of you are as specifically beautiful this week as Dr. Mr. Spock.
Dr. Mr. Spock.
Love you so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
says
I love
the
you.
Star Trek watcher.
You love outing me. Thank you.
I guess
I don't watch. I mean, I have watched 3 episodes of Star Trek.
Okay. The reason I'm making fun of you, because I also don't really watch Star Trek. But
yeah, I know you don't watch it. I was like, where's this coming from? Yeah.
I mean, I have seen it though.
Well, I have seen 4 or 5 episodes or whatever it is, but I won't watch the whole show. I don't think. Cause I don't care.
Wow.
I know it's not, it just doesn't appeal to me. Every time I watch, I'm like, this is like a thought experiment.
Yeah.
You know, in a fairly boring environment to me. I know Swaim and Abe are frothing right now with fury. I know.
I understand the appeal.
Why don't you watch it then?
I do.
But you just said
whenever
you don't.
Whenever I hang out with my friend Hannah, we watch a Star Trek episode. I've seen many a Star Trek. I just don't.
That's her thing.
By my own, sit down and watch it.
So, but if a friend's watching it, you'll stick it on there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And my dad used to watch old episodes with him.
So are we talking original Star Trek or TNG?
Yeah. I've seen a lot. Okay. I've seen original. I've seen
Next Generation.
Deep Space.
Yeah.
Next Gen. One of my my old priest growing up used to we used to watch an episode of Star Trek in class, and he'd be like, "Okay, let's talk about it." He's like, "Talk about the moral
I've thought about like when is it appropriate for me to show as a college instructor a movie and just be like, that's what we're doing today. We're just going to talk about this movie.
Oh man, yeah.
Never done it,
yeah.
But I've really considered it a few times.
Yeah, rolling out the old
just like here it comes.
Media cart.
Rolling out the old sex bones. I think it's I think that's what that sound
that's
meant first too.
Your dirty brain.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
That's just an objective thing you did. You see how she's changing facts now. Anyway, if I'm dead later, you'll know it's from Maggie.
It's their fault. They found you in your sleep. Honk, honk.
All right, bye.
This has been a Small Beans endeavor. We're a bunch of pals who make podcasts, sketches, music, web series, and movies. The Beans always have new ideas percolating, so make sure to check us out at patreon.com/smallbeans. That's patreon.com/smallbeans, where you can browse all of our current and past content, see what we've got planned in the future, and learn how your support can help the Small Beans grow into huge, giant monster beans. If you enjoyed this content module, please like, rate, subscribe, or tell a friend about us. We love you.